Hello, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Mishnayos Para, the fourth parech, Mishnahs 3 and 4 today. Srafa shelo be'etzim, o be'kol etzim, afilo be'kash, o be'gavava, k'shera. So if he burned it not with wood, or with any wood, even with straw or stubble, it's fit. Hapshita v'nischa, k'shera. If he flayed it and cut it up, the para, it is fit. Shechata al manas lecho min basara, v'lishtos midama k'shera. If he slaughtered with the intention of eating its flesh and drinking its blood, it is fit. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ein machshava poselas papara. Rabbi Eliezer says, intention does not render unfit with a para. Right, so if he burned the para without wood, but kindled directly the body of the cow, or with any wood, even with straw or stubble, it's fit, because the Torah does not say wood, it just says he shall burn, without specifying. Now, if he flayed it after the slaughtering, removed its hide, and cut it into pieces, and then burned it, it's fit. Although, in principle, we want to burn the para whole. Now, if he slaughtered it with the intention of eating its flesh, or the intention of drinking its blood, it's fit. As with an offering, if during one of the attendant activities he intended to eat beyond the permitted time, or site that which is not usually eaten, it's fit. Because such intention does not invalidate. If he intended during the slaughtering or the receiving the blood to sprinkle it on the next day, it is unfit. As with Kedushim, since the Torah is called a chatas, a sin offering. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says intention doesn't render unfit a para at all. Even with slaughtering or receiving, he intended to sprinkle the blood the next day. It still remains fit. Rabbi Eliezer thus applies his view that the para is not included in the laws of Kedushim, since its ritual is performed outside the sanctuary. Mishnah 4. Kol asukim bapara mitchila v'ad sof, mitamin begadim uposlim osa b'malacha. So all who are occupied with the para from the beginning of the process to the end render clothes ritually impure and render it unfit by malacha. Eira ba psul b'shchitasa, eina mitama begadim. If it was rendered unfit when it was slaughtered, it does not render the clothes impure. Erebaba hazyasa, kol osik ba lifnei psula mitama begadim, lachar psula ena mitama begadim. Nimsa chumra kula. So if this occurred during the sprinkling, so then all who dealt with it before it became unfit, their clothes are impure. But after it became unfit, their clothes do not become impure. And thus its stringency is also its leniency. It goes both ways. L'olam ma'olin ba umarbin la etzim umaseha biyom uvakohin. So it's always subject to me'ila. The wood for it may be increased, and its activities must be performed by day and must be performed by a kohen. Hamalacha poselas ba ad shitase ef efer. And malacha makes it unfit until it's been reduced into ashes. Vamalacha poselas b'mayim ad shitilu esa efer. And the malacha renders the water unfit until the ashes are put into it. So when we say it's unfit by malacha, if you performed other work, if the kohen performed other work while dealing with the cow, then it becomes unfit. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about malacha. And it's always subject to me'ila. So whoever derives a pruta's worth or benefit from the cow, either before or after its burning, until it's been reduced to ashes, must bring an asha me'ila, a guilt offering. Personal use of the ashes is not deemed sacrilegious because it's a chatat, and while calling the red cow a chatat and hence subject to me'ila, it implies that only the cow is subject to me'ila but not its ashes. And so after its ashes, the malacha does not render it unfit. Tomorrow we'll be doing the fifth parak, the first and the second Mishnah.